the power of remembering, thanksgiving, and praying, part 6. The Praying Through the Bible series, 307. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. The Bible reads, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Notice Paul was addressing Christians, that is, believers in Christ. And if you are a believer in Christ, if you are truly saved and born again, there ought to be a difference in your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your attitude right from birth of being born again. And certainly if you have been saved and under the teaching of the Word of God. And so Paul is addressing saints, people who have been saved by the grace of God. And I trust that you are saved by the grace of God. I am convinced, and from God revealing some things to me this morning during our devotional time, that some people in the church are not saved, are not born again. And so Paul is not talking to them. And they will not even understand what he's talking about. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Dear friend, you want to be a person that when people think about you, they thank God for you, and not curse the day you were born. Every time they think about you or are prompted by God to pray for you, they do it with joy, as we will read here momentarily, and not with grief. There are many parents who have children. Somebody wrote an article about it recently. Who, when they think about them and pray for them, is with grief. They're prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, and it's not a prayer of joy, it's a prayer of grief and concern. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. It's a wonderful thing to pray for those folks who you remember with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And you can only pray for people like that with joy if they are truly believers in Christ. If they are Judases, if they are Demases, if they are Sanballats and Tobiases, you will not have this kind of joy for them. For they have tried to be a hindrance. And when you think about them, you see them as the enemy, not as a friend, not as a brother in Christ, not as an Ace Boone Coon, if you will. But thank God for those who are that way, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When you depart from a church, when you depart from a ministry, when you depart from a family, you ought to want to leave well. Amen, somebody. You ought to want to leave well. You may not have had a perfect run, but you want to leave well. You want to leaving a good taste in the mouth of others. And the only way you can do that is to be born again, to be saved. And if you are born again and if you're saved, verse 6 tells us, being confident, Paul said, of this very thing. I'm very confident. For you know that Paul was, he received revelations from God to pass on to us. And so this is one of those revelations. Paul was able to say, I'm very confident of this thing here, and that is that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Instead of getting worse and worse, if you are a child of God, you ought to be getting better and better, more mature, more considerate of others, more loving, more cheerful, more joyful, and if you will, more confident. Confident in who? Not yourself, but God. Even as it is meet for me to think, he continues, this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul did not have to say it this way, but every now and then it's okay when you have somebody who may doubt to say, God is my record. I affirm before God. For God is my record. God knows. God knows. Every now and then, I don't say stuff like that much, but every now and then I have to let people know that God know, God knoweth. God knows the truth. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that God knows how much I love you and how much I thank God for you. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here and allowing us to be where we are right now in a different location, being able to be beamed around the world for others to participate in. For live service is one that people participate in, not just view. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for the technology that you have wrought through men. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you most of all for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for this passage of Scripture that is so rich and so deep we could stay here for months. Lord, we pray that it would arrest our hearts and our minds and our spirits and change us from the inside out for those who are saved, because this message is addressed, this passage is addressed to Christians, people who are truly born again, people who believe in Christ. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who are lost. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And Lord, we pray that you would protect us from the storms that are coming today. Surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire, as we hear the wind rustling outside. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you'd rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this message and from your holy word being preached from the minds of those who need to be saved, Christians who need to be revived. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are in a rather long but powerful and wonderful series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. Every time I say that, I think about J. Vernon McGee, who carried us on his Bible bus for many years. If you will, I cut my teeth on J. Vernon McGee and Oliver B. Green. And through the Bible Radio, which is still on and on many stations around the world. A series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray, to exhort you to pray, to challenge you to pray. Yes, if you will, to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. By the grace of God, I've been through most of it. And I'm here to tell you that through faith in God and prayer to God, God will not only bring you through, but He'll be with you in it. Every minute, every second, every hour, if you would pray to Him, He will show up and He will show out. There's no doubt about it. And so, beloved, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 306 messages in this series. And by the grace of God, this is message number 307, titled The Power of Remembering. The power of thanksgiving and the power of praying altogether, part 6. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we used Paul's example of praying for the Philippians to show how we should love and pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ down at the local church and Christians everywhere. Do you have a loving heart towards other Christians, or are you in competition with them? Or are you trying to keep up with them? Are you envious of how God may use other Christians? I've said it before and I'll say it again. A mark of your Christian love and a mark of your Christian maturity is when you can genuinely be happy for other Christians and how God has blessed them and how God has used them. If you understand how much God has blessed you and used you, and if that's the case, you ought to be happy for others. And you ought to love others, and you ought not to be envious of others, and you ought to pray for others. Paul had a heart of true love by the grace of God, and concerned an equal for the believers in Philippi. Thank God for those local churches that stood with Paul. Thank God for those local churches that stand with preachers like myself, some of which we'll be visiting after 25 years. I'll be going back to visit those churches that stood with us, prayed with us, prayed for us, supported us in the work of the ministry. It's a blessing to have people like that in your life. And he showed that heart. That is, Paul showed that heart by praying that, number one, their love for each other would abound or grow more and more exponentially. That's all done by the grace of God, by the way. That's all done by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not our doing. As I look back over 40 years of ministry, I'm amazed at what God has done and what God has done through people. My daughters, Daniqua and Danielle, my baby daughters, did a heroic job of cataloging, and well, they're still cataloging, but they scanned in, I think she said, over 2,000 pictures. Is that right? Over 2,000 pictures. That not only marks our personal family life, but in history, but our lives have been so intertwined with the ministry, our ministry as well. And as I look at those pictures, I remember people that I had, I'm ashamed to say, some I had not thought about in a while. Some I'm glad I had not thought about in a while. But But it's just amazing what God had done down, what God has done down through the years in touching people's hearts to stand with us and to support us and to pray for us. And Paul had it like that big time. And then number two, he prayed out of a heart of love that their love for each other would be coupled with knowledge and spiritual discernment and growth. Not the ushy kind of love, the sentimental love. And by the way, it's time for us in the church to get sick of that and to be sick of that. We got the love going on big time in our churches today. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear. Oh, wow. The fix up your face love. You crunch your forehead up and you look so concerned. Honey. Oh, I'm so sorry, honey, that he said that to you. Oh, my. This Me Too love. And pun not intended regarding the Me Too movement. I think the Me Too, I have many daughters, so I'm glad that the young daughters, so I'm glad that the Me Too movement is moving on. But I'm talking about just these pity party meetings. And even some of the women are sick and tired of it. And then they talk about the one who always wants to do the pity party thing. They'll talk about her. Ooh, I'm so glad she didn't come. Maybe we can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. You know, this always got to have that concern. Are you going to? Oh, my soul. No. We need a love that has knowledge and a love that has discernment and a love that has courage and a love that has boldness to say to some of our so-called saint friends that, honey, you're the problem. Sir, brother, you're the problem. Son, you're the problem. Daughter, you're the problem. And you're trying to cast it on somebody else. And what you need to do is confess your sins and repent. Yes, I still love you, and that's the reason why I'm telling you this. And get your little wicked heart right with God and stop sneaking around, being so fast, doing things that are causing the judgment of God to fall down upon you and cause you to have a bad relationship with your father and or your mother or your husband or your wife. You need to confess your sins and repent. You may need to get saved. A love with knowledge and discernment. Amen, somebody. And then number three, Paul brought out that their love for each other would be coupled with judgment. 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 That includes discernment. In other words, the truth is being told. And if you need to be told something about yourself, it is done. See, real love is when you are wrong and somebody who loves you tells you the truth about yourself. They know. They have your number. You know they have your number. And you will later resent them if they don't tell you the truth about yourself right now. You know you ought to confess your sins. You know you ought to repent. You know that you are a fake Christian and that you need to be born again. And they know it. You don't like to get around these folks because they have love for you with knowledge, with discernment, and with judgment. They'll smile and grin with you a little bit at the coffee shop, and they'll chat with you, and they'll hear you say your little dreams and visions. And then, but after a while, after about a half an hour, they're going to get down to truth, knowledge, and judgment. Because God has already, listen to me very carefully, God has already told them what you need to hear. And these people who really love you, they're going to tell you the truth about yourself. And before you leave there, you felt good about meeting with them in the beginning because you thought that you could persuade them to agree with you. But after a while, by and by, they're going to see where you're coming from, and most people don't need but 1 minute to be with you, and they're going to tell you straight up what you need to do, and you need, and don't call me for another meeting until you do it. Because, see, you want to hear, honey, you need to divorce him. Man, you need to divorce her. That's what you want to do in your flesh. And you want to divorce that woman and fly down to Jamaica Land and get with somebody else. But the one who loves you and who cares for you in your future, he's going to tell you, or she's going to tell you, you better think twice before you do that, because that's going to cause some serious problems for you and your children in years to come. We got this ushy kind of sentimental kind of love going on in the church today, quite frankly driven by many women who have lost their way. Women who are divorced and destroyed their families, but yet they want to be mentors of other young women who have not gone through that. And as I have told my daughters, you better be very careful who is your mentor. If their life is a failure, they're going to end up causing your life to be a failure. And some women are so sick that they want you to fail. And you got some people in the pastorate and some people in leadership in the church. They have the gift of helps, and they will allow things to happen so that they can help you get back up, when in reality you should not be down there in the first place. So be very careful who you get to be your mentor or your guide. Be you male or female, lest they lead you in the wrong way. You want to be a winner. Don't follow a loser expecting to win. Get with winners, people who have been successful in their single life, in their married life, and in their work life, in their ministry life. Be very careful who you listen to. And listen to somebody who's not going to just tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. Can somebody say amen? Love with truth. Love with knowledge. Love with discernment, and love with judgment. People who will not only tell you the truth, but will tell you what to do with the truth. Yeah, and who will pull you aside and say, son, let me tell you this right here. Here's what you need to do. 1, 2, 3. Now, you can do it or not. It's your business. You know, if you don't do it, you're going to suffer the consequences. And then furthermore, in verse 10, we read that Paul prays that the believers may approve things that are excellent. Dr. John Walvoord writes in his second petition, Paul logically proceeds from his prayer for love abounding in knowledge and in discernment and in judgment to the corresponding quality of discriminating sense of values. Can somebody say values? Amen, somebody. A discriminating sense of values. What are your values? What will you die for? Values expressed in the clause that ye may approve things that are excellent. Are you about that? Are you ready and willing to approve things that are excellent? Are you ready and willing to do the right thing and do it with excellence? The excellent thing, rather, with excellence. Or are you open for and down for anything? The idea of approval comes from a word meaning to examine carefully or to test. The conclusion that are excellent more literally means to discriminate between things that are good and bad, or things that are opposed to each other. And I want to say something to you young people. The decisions you make right now, if you don't choose excellently, excellent things, things of value, things that are biblical in your life, particularly if you know better and you've been in church all of your life and you've heard the truth all of your life, is going to cause great devastation in your life for a time to come that you will not be able to recover from quickly as you think. Some things that you do wrong will last an entire lifetime. Spiritual discernment sorts all things out as good or bad in the sight of God, determined by divine rather than human criteria. An accurate translation, if you will, would be that ye may discriminate between things that differ. As one preacher from Florida said, things that are different are not the same. The same expression occurs in Romans 2:18, where it speaks of knowing God's will and of being instructed out of the law. In a world which has lost its sense of value, and we have totally lost it. Sad to say, even in the church, in many churches have no sense of value anymore, no sense of excellence anymore, no sense of obedience anymore. A Christian must have unusual sensitivity to what really counts, what really matters. Have you ever been confronted with making a decision that could lead you down one path or another? I know of someone at the crossroads right now, and the devil is seeking to destroy him and lead him down the wrong path that will devastate his life for years to come. If he chooses the right path, God will bless his life. If he chooses the wrong path, God will not be there with him. Have you ever struggled with knowing the right thing to do when presented with different options? You need love with knowledge, love with discernment, love with judgment, love with understanding. May God deliver us in the church from all of this ushy, sentimental love that we don't root in biblical knowledge and understanding and wisdom and discernment. For we're asking for a loving situation that is all messed up. The devil specializes in wrapping his ideas for us in appealing packages. God says, here's what you need to do. Learn obedience first and then move on. The devil says, oh, the heck with obedience. That's some old, outdated stuff. That's God trying to keep you back. That's your pastor trying to keep you back. That's your father trying to keep you back. Later for that, don't learn obedience. Just go out and do whatever you feel like doing. And then the person's life is destroyed. And the more you know, the more your life will be destroyed. If we listen too long to the voice of the devil, the tempter, the more confused we can become regarding what is right and what is wrong. And sometimes, in fact, most of the time, the right thing to do is the toughest thing to do to us, to our flesh, to suck it up and to just go ahead on and do the right thing is tough for most people. It's easier to follow what the devil is saying, but it is far more dangerous. The devil is eager to blur the lines of distinction, isn't he? And he's good at it. But through prayer we can ask. But through prayer we can ask for knowledge, wisdom, understanding, discernment, and judgment. Between that which is good, that and that which is evil, that which is right, and that which is wrong. And not only should we ask for discernment for ourselves and these other blessings of knowledge and understanding for ourselves, but we ought to ask God for that discernment and understanding for others, that ability to test the spirits, if you will, for others as well. Some men and some women, some young men and some women, young women, are being destroyed by older men and women. These young people cannot discern the spirits of these people. Our concern for fellow believers should prompt us to pray that they will be granted the discernment to avoid a dark path and the will to accept that which is excellent, especially when we have tried to warn them, but they have taken no heed. And so many pastors, so many people with the gift of helps, so many parents, so many teachers have a hard time when they tell people what's best for them and they don't follow it. And they have high blood pressure, they have stress, they have anxiety, trying to make these people do what they're supposed to do and do what they ought to do for their own good. And God does not want you to be that way. Once you tell somebody the truth in love and give them knowledge in love, give them understanding in love, give them discernment in love, they have to make that decision. And you will have to let them fail. One of the best men I know at this is Pastor John, Dr. John McNeil Jr., longtime pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. He can discern, he'll tell you the truth, and some people he won't say anything to because he knows that they won't listen. And he'll let them go and fall flat on their face until they learn it the hard way. And we thank God for wise pastors who can do that. Our job is to tell them, not to make them. God himself does not even make us do things. Let's pray, therefore, dear friends, for knowledge, for understanding, for wisdom, to discern between darkness and light, right and wrong, and evil and good for ourselves and for others. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, William Young wrote, "As deep darkness falls around with shadows of the night, we gather here with him in prayer to seek the eternal light. Father in heaven, to thee are known our many hopes and fears, our heavy weight of mortal toil, our bitterness of tears. We pray thee for our absent ones who have been with us here, and in our secret heart we name the distant and the dear. For weary eyes and aching hearts and feet that from thee rove, the sick, the poor, the tired, the fallen, we pray thee, O God of love, We bring to thee our hopes and fears, and at thy footstool lay. And Father, thou who lovest all, wilt hear us as we pray. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your system of grace and all that is involved with that. And we thank you for your holy word today, your Holy Spirit, not only proclaimed from this pulpit, but proclaimed all across the country and around the globe from here and from other places. We thank you that as far as we can see that there's not a drought of your holy word. And have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our failures, our faults, our foolishness, our not being loving enough to tell people the truth, and to tell them that truth with discernment, understanding, insight, and judgment. Help us to move forward and to do that. There are many who are under the sound of my voice. You have touched their hearts to tell somebody the right way to go, but they don't want to do it because they're worried about how they might be offended and not want to communicate with them again. Some is a long-lost church member. Some is a long-lost family member. Or a family member you're trying to save from themselves. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work mightily in the hearts of your saints to love with truth, to love with knowledge, to love with discernment, and to love with judgment, as Paul prayed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as is my custom, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner just as I am and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a place of torment forever. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth forever. Hell is a place of eternal pain and darkness. You do not want to go to hell because of your sins, even though you deserve to go to hell. And that's the bad news. The good news is what Jesus Christ said in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today. And he will do so. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 13 says that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me in this simple prayer called the sinner's prayer, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. He suffered, he bled, and he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save you today. If you have never done that, I'm not trying to make you do it. I'm not trying to convince you to do it. I'm not even trying to influence you to do it. I'm informing you what God has done for you. And only the Holy Spirit can really influence you. It's my job to tell you what Jesus did for you on the cross. It's up to you whether or not you choose to trust Christ as Savior. God would not even make you get saved. And so far be it from me to try to get you, to make you get saved. Just humble yourself before God. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, that he suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He paid your sin debt so that you would not have to go to hell, so that you can instead go to heaven to be with God and with Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons why God sent his Son to die for our sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, believe it or not, God wants to be with us. I know that may sound strange, but God wants to be with us. He loves us so much, he wants to fellowship with us. I don't understand it. It's mind-boggling, but he does. He loves us that much. And so he wants you to be saved today as well. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done wrong in my life. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, as the music, just as I am, still plays in honor of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also their servant Billy Graham, who made the song very popular around the world. If you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.